105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the bi-weekly BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host...
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, lovely to be back in the studio again today.
It is, and the sun is shining, plus we are in summertime!
I know, we've all had 1 hour's less sleep, though, haven't we?
I don't care. I really don't care. To be absolutely honest with you, I'm quite liking the light evenings.
Yes.
So let them roll on.
I love that as well. Mm. And isn't it a gorgeous sunny day?
It is. We just need to cut that wind out.
Cut the wind. Oh, you are fussy.
I am fussy. Well, too right. Yes.
I mean, you've got a windbreak living down on the seaside, as you do.
No,
you haven't got one of those, right. Well, tomorrow, apparently, everybody, it's going to be 21, 22 degrees, I think.
Scotia.
Wow.
I know.
Almost summer weather, isn't it?
It is.
And we've got Easter to look forward to at the end of the week.
Yeah, and the weather's going to be rubbish.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit cooler, isn't it? But still sunny, I think.
Still sunny, I think. Look, hey, today we're allowed to mingle. We're allowed to mingle.
It's up to 6 people outside or 2 households.
I know.
Wow.
How exciting is that?
Yeah.
And I know you're very excited because golf clubs are opening today.
Today, yeah. And in fact, that brings us nicely on to the theme of today's show, really, doesn't it? Which is all about getting back to business.
Opening up.
Opening up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. Very, very exciting. So who have we got on the show? Tell us.
Today we have got the lovely Rebecca Nutt from Serenity Health and Beauty. She's going to be chatting to us later. Mm. But also, we do have... the guys from North Foreland Golf Club.
Yes,
Chris Dorwick, he's coming along to have a chat, which you know very well because that's your golf club, isn't it?
It is.
So I know you're super excited.
I am, yeah. So two great examples of businesses that are really... in many ways, along with hospitality businesses, have borne the brunt of the lockdown, I think it's fair to say, in terms of not being open for business. So it'll be fascinating to hear how Rebecca and Chris have managed to kind of navigate their way through that. Yeah. Really looking forward to talking to them later on. We've got a little bit of business news to share as well in terms of events that are happening this week.
Yep.
But I think what we'll do, Tracy, is we'll play a little bit of music.
Fantastic.
And we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today for another BizConnect radio show with Tracy Westall.
Hi.
And myself, Martin White, here in the studio at Academy FM. Tracy, tell us, what's going on at the moment? We've had this budget a few weeks back.
Yes.
Lots of kind of new programmes, business support programmes announced.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem to have kind of materialised into anything at a kind of local level yet. Is that fair to say or not?
Well, I think that what businesses need to do is, obviously, those that have been entitled to get the additional restricted grants need to really get on the bandwagon with their local authority. I think with the next amount of grants that are going to be coming through, and you're going to see over the next couple of months, will be distributed by local authority, not through central government. So in regards to things like the additional restriction grant or even the new restart grant, which is available for businesses to start getting out of the lockdown to help with their cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And this you can actually already apply for now. It's going to be rolled out and available from the 1st of April. You can submit your applications in advance. I mean, obviously, the 1st of April's, 2 days' time? So, but if you go onto the local authority website, you should be able to apply for that. Now, who can actually apply for this grant? Well,
this is £5 billion of restart grant.
Yes.
Program money that we're talking about here. This was announced in the budget.
This was in the spring announcement. Yeah. And the thing is the reason they're doing this is because a lot of businesses have been mothballed for a long, long time. Yes. So they don't necessarily have the cash to be able to restart the business.
They haven't been trading, so...
No, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that, you know, there's two elements of this grant.
Right.
So who can apply? Mm-hmm. So you need to be based in England. You have to be rate-paying in a non-essential retail, hospitality, accommodation, leisure, personal care and or gym sector, mm-hmm. and trading on the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, from this, you can actually receive £6,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is for the non-essential retail sector. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the second element is for hospitality, accommodation, leisure, personal care and gym sector.
Specifically. Right.
Now, mm-hmm. this one-off grant, and these are both just one-off grants, mm-hmm. will be for £18,000.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as I say, they will be available from the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. And please do, if you are able to, please submit your application to your local council's website. Mm-hmm. And get the ball rolling on that now. Mm-hmm. The
timing's quite important there, isn't it? Because that will effectively fall into the next tax year.
Yes.
Because these grants are always taxable, ultimately. They are treated as income in your business.
They are.
But in this instance, obviously, because of the timing here, this will fall into the next tax year, 21-22. Mm-hmm. And therefore, actually, you should be able to rebuild your business on a kind of trading level to then be able to effectively afford, you know, hopefully to pay the tax on the income that the government's going to give you.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, there's been a lot of grants over the last year. Mm. At the beginning of this, a lot of people in business with offices and that got £10,000 grant.
Yes.
One-off payment. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's got that's taxable, etc. Mm. The thing is that because we're now a year into this, there's a lot of things that people applied for early doors when this pandemic hit and the lockdown struck us. They're now going to be having to think about paying these things back. Now, obviously, bounce back loans and CBILS loans, a lot of businesses are now looking at now having to pay these loans back. Mm-hmm. Now, a loan is a loan, you have to pay it back. Mm-hmm. A grant, you don't have to pay back. That's the complete differentiation between them two things. Now,
but the grant is taxable, don't forget.
Yeah, the grant is taxable, but you don't pay it back.
Yeah.
But a loan, you do. Now, there's a lot of things that people are asking questions on various sites that I'm on. Now, a lot of them have contacted their banks or their banks have contacted them directly to say that you are now going to have to start paying this loan back. Mm. Depending on the bank or the place you got your loans from will depend on the ways that you will be able to pay this back. But also, most importantly, if you've taken this loan out, it was a 5-year term loan at 2.5%, interest-free for the first 12 months. So most people are now coming up to the end of their interest-free 12-month period. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to start paying that back. Some banks will offer you to pay interest for 6 months and then extend it. Some banks will offer you to extend from 5 years to 10 years. Mm-hmm. The thing is, and the real key element here, is to contact whoever lent you this money and work out how you're going to pay this back.
Your own repayment plan. Because otherwise, they'll just set a default, which is, the shortest possible repayment period, which could be quite penal, couldn't it, in terms of monthly repayments?
Most definitely. And there is a big call at the moment. I know that I've addressed this with the FSB, is that some places have actually said that it's going to affect your credit scoring, and it should not affect that. Okay, so there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot, because don't forget, we've got a lot of lenders out there, we've got a lot of banks out there that have lent this money, and they're all doing their own thing now. So my advice to anybody that's got a CBILS loan or a bounce back loan, please contact whoever got you the loan. whether it's your broker or direct to your funder or direct to your bank, please contact them and work out your cash flow to be able to pay this. Mm. Include this in your cash flow forecasting. Mm.
It's really good advice. And the same applies, obviously, with the VAT deferral.
Any tax that you've been managed to be able to defer, the only way you're going to be able to continue to defer this or have a payment plan to pay this back is to contact HMRC and agree them a time to pay. Mm. These things are not given to you automatically.
No, and the clock is ticking on that.
Because, exactly.
I think, effectively, that started in March. So if you don't contact them till April, you've already missed 1 month where you could have spread the payments over. So now you've only got 11 months you can spread the payment over. So the sooner you do it, the better. And in fact, they have HMRC have a very simple online portal where you can actually just do that. It takes a few minutes to set that up, I believe. So
It is simple. All you've got to do, I know it's very annoying when you cannot get through to these people, but just think that everybody is in the same boat, but please take action. If you have any issues with your cash flow or worrying about how you're going to get out of this and how you're going to repay these things, can you get the grant? How are you going to utilise this grant to the best of the business's ability? Then please seek assistance and help and advice. There's a lot of, you know, we have had people on this show that is out there that can give you the best advice that you're going to need to be able to get out of this and start to grow and thrive within your business. It is possible. But it's not a one-way fixes-all.
It's going to take a bit of planning as well for a lot of businesses. But it's great to hear about this restart grant.
Yes.
I'm really excited about that because obviously we've got, the theme of today's show is all about, you know, getting back to business. And we've got Rebecca Nutt on, obviously, from Serenity Health and Beauty. She runs a couple of salons, for example, that will be, you know, just perfect for that. And it's very much kind of who that's targeted at.
Yes.
We've obviously got a golf club coming on as well on the show today. So again, you know, that will be music to their ears because, you know, a lot of golf club income is derived from, you know, restaurant and bar takings, for example. So, you know, all of that money will certainly be put to good use there. The other exciting thing, obviously, that's coming up, while we're on the kind of subject of hospitality, is pubs reopening from the 12th.
I know. So you can go and get your beer in a pint glass.
Yeah.
I know.
A bit of a strange one, though, isn't it? Because they won't allow people to have a drink inside a pub. But they have allowed pubs to set up a marquee in their outside space where people can go inside, outside as it were, to have a drink. So you have to sort of, you have to look at that and think, well, where on earth is the logic in that when, you know, these business owners, you know, pub owners, publicans, any kind of catering business really, hospitality business, they've been locked down for so long, they are going to be cash strapped.
Yep.
You've now asked them to go out and hire in additional equipment in the form of marquees and screening for those and everything else, when surely they could have just socially distanced inside their venue, which is kind of where all the money and investment was spent last time round.
Yeah.
So that's already there and in place.
Yeah.
So, but you've asked me to go out and now spend money hiring a marquee so I can put people in a marquee as opposed to putting them inside my venue. So I don't really understand the logic of it myself.
No.
But we're not going to go there.
No, just be happy. You can go to a pub, get a pint.
I'm really looking forward to being able to support my local venues.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's about being able to go out and to be sensible. I know today everybody's, you know, we can go out, we can meet people outdoors. But, you know, let's do this slowly.
Yeah.
We're finally on our way. We're beating everybody else. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Let's not all spoil it, but I'm so pleased that, you know, we can see other people, but let's get this bit through so the 12th of April can happen.
Yeah, light at the end of the tunnel. And, of course, we've got other businesses that will be really looking forward to opening up again as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've got Easter holiday, so all the kids on holiday from Friday for 2 weeks in Kent. So we've got, you know, things like Port Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Howlett's, you know, wild animal parks on our doorstep. Fabulous places to go outside, to, you know, to be with other people and actually enjoy some fresh air and sunshine and have a thoroughly good day out. So we have got a lot to look forward to, haven't we?
We do, we do. And I think that over the next few months, we're going to see that a lot of people are going to be on their staycation. So we could have a lot of people coming into our counties in the southeast. And it's just going to be really nice to see that people are out and about again.
Brilliant. Tracy, I think we're going to leave it there.
Okay.
We're going to play a bit of music.
Good.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to our first show guest. Join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've now got our first phone-in guest with us, Rebecca Nutt from Serenity Health and Beauty. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me on.
Well, it's our pleasure, and it's lovely to have you with us on this beautiful sunny day today.
It is glorious, absolutely glorious, thank goodness. Spring is finally here.
I know you're based down by the seaside yourself, aren't you? You've got two salons. Just tell us where they are.
So we have our first salon that we opened in 2004, and that's in Swalecliff, just outside Whitstable, so right on the coast. It's lovely, really nice coastal area.
Yep.
And then our second salon is based in Faversham. We opened in 2016, and that's sort of more in the town, but you've got the creek there. It's lovely, so just a really lovely market town area as well. So
brilliant.
Very lucky, really, where we are.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your background in business, in the beauty business. How did you kind of start out, Rebecca? What was your sort of business journey?
Well, obviously trained many years ago in beauty therapy, and I worked for several local sort of salons, and I also did a bit of travelling, worked in a salon in Australia for a while.
Nice.
And then I decided to start my own business, just thought, you know, I could do it better than anyone else, really, like we all do. started my first salon in 2004, and it's just kind of gone from there, really. So, we like to sort of offer more kind of high-end treatments. So we specialise more in advanced skincare, advanced treatments, so kind of skin tag removal, wart treatment, thread vein treatment. We also do a lot of microneedling, which is very good for skin rejuvenation. So that's kind of more what we do. I mean, we also offer your kind of standard beauty treatments, so manicures, pedicures, waxing, massage, things like that. But we tend to focus more on, as I say, more the advanced aesthetic side of the industry. That's more what we aim towards offering our clientele.
Yeah. Fantastic, yeah. And I guess that is, you have to be sort of highly trained to be able to offer those kind of treatments, I guess, as well, don't you?
You do, yes. Mm. It's very much, there's a lot more involved in it. So there are kind of different routes that you can go along with beauty. These days they do like a spa route, so if you want to sort of focus more on massage and body treatments and things, if you're going to be working in a spa environment, but obviously we're more sort of salon or clinic based, so then you would do more an electrical route, so you'd be doing all your electrical face and body treatment and that kind of area. So it's a bit more of an advanced qualification in that respect.
Also
cover all the other bits and pieces as well, so the massage and the facials and
And you are, am I right in thinking, a Gino Crown Salon?
We are. So Gino are our main skincare brand at both salons. And so I've been working with them for, since 2004. We've been lucky enough to win Crown Salon in our Swalecliff Salon for about, 5 or 6 years running now, I think.
Fantastic.
We've actually just won it again. Last year, which is considering we were only open for about 6 months. Yeah. I'm very proud of the team. We've done really well.
And have Gino moved into some of these areas that you've just been talking about as well in terms of treatment? Because I guess traditionally, you know, they are much more of a sort of a, historically, I guess they would have been more of a sort of a facial kind of treatment brand. Have they moved into more of these kind of aesthetic treatments as well?
Yeah, because their main, what they call their star treatment is actually machine-operated treatment, so it's the Hedrodermy. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, they revamped the machine and relaunched it, so it's got a lot more up-to-date technology in the way that the currents are used and how they work with the products. Mm-hmm. On the skin and so on, so you're actually getting much better results from them as well. Mm-hmm. So even though they're not what we would class as a cosmeceutical brand, they are still more kind of aesthetic mm-hmm. based in mm-hmm. their machine offering treatments, mm-hmm. but they also mm-hmm. offer manual treatments as well. Not everybody wants to have a machine based treatment. They might want to just come and lay down and have a nice, you know, nice
relaxing
smelling
facial
aromatherapy, you know, hands on treatment, which for some people is much better for their well being as much as anything. So you know, it's nice to be able to offer
Fantastic.
A whole range, really.
So we must come on to COVID and kind of the challenges that COVID has kind of posed for you as a business, because Tracy and I were saying at the start of the show, you know, hospitality, beauty, leisure, you know, these are all kind of businesses that have been worst affected in many ways by the kind of the in and out of kind of continuous lockdown that we've had.
Yeah.
So just tell us in your own words, you know, as a salon owner, you know, how challenging has it been for you, as a business owner?
Yeah, it's been really tough. I'm not going to lie. I think everyone has felt it. But I think for us, because we are, you know, treatment based, you know, if you can't offer treatments, you can't work. You can't earn any money. Mm. You can't pay your staff. You can't, you know, cover your bills. It's been very tough. Mm. But I think that, you know, there are ways of trying to generate a little bit of income. You know, we've been trying to sort of sell products online. We've been you know, trying to sort of upsell our gift vouchers, things like that. So you have been able to do a few things like that. Obviously it's not been generated anywhere near what we would normally
Your stuff is so like personal. Yeah. So you've got to be up close to people and everything else.
Exactly.
So, you know...
We are, you know, as I said earlier, most of what we focus on really is the, you know, the aesthetic, skincare, things like that. So I would say predominantly probably 70 to 80% of what we do in the salon is on the face. You know, if you can't...
get to
offer
it.
Those treatments, you know, like, I mean, yes, we offer, like I say, we offer nails and pedicures and things like that, but that's not our main focus, really. We do a lot, but it's not our main focus. I say skincare is really our main focus. Eyebrows, you know, a huge industry
I think you're going to be a bit busy.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? Because that sort of brings us on nicely to, you know, the 12th of April, which I believe is the sort of the date that's been given for non-essential retail businesses to be able to open up.
Hopefully.
So, you know, are you presumably all of the hard work that you've gone through under lockdown and you know, when we came out of lockdown, in terms of helping keep staff and customers safe, all of that is still very much in place. You've already kind of invested the time and money there, haven't you, in all of that infrastructure and training. So I guess you're just kind of chomping at the bit and ready to go now.
Yes, exactly. I'm assuming that, I mean, at the moment we've not been given any guidance that anything's changed from how it was before we were closed down in December again. So I'm assuming that everything will stay the same. I can't imagine there's anything else that they can possibly impose on us other than potentially expecting us to test our staff regularly with the lateral flow tests. But I've not heard anything as such about that at the moment.
Well, we'll talk about, you know, sort of reopening and, you know, everything that you've been doing in the background to kind of prepare for that. But just to kind of, just interested to get a flavour for the support you've received as a business that has been forced to close, longer than, most other businesses out in the marketplace. What from your point of view, Rebecca, do you think that you've had the kind of the support that you needed from the government and local authority level critically? Has it been really helpful? Has it kind of made the difference, or has it been a bit lacking?
It's a really difficult one, that, isn't it? Because, you know, as a business owner, you shouldn't really expect to be given anything, really, I don't think, you know. I mean, yes, when your government tells you you have to close, then, you know, you kind of want a bit of support and backup from them. Mm. And yes, as a business, I've received some business rate grants.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hardly touched sides, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
The main thing I would say, the real game changer was bringing out furlough and paying the staff's wages.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
If it hadn't have been for that, well, I don't know, I wouldn't have any staff.
No. Mm. So you wouldn't be able to reopen. It's as simple as that, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd be really busy on my working out of one property, probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as I say, the fact that they've paid for the staff, when they first announced that back in March last year, that was quite emotional because I'd already had the conversation with my team, you know, if we're closed, if we're told we've got to close, I can't afford to pay your wages, you know, that's a simple fact.
Yeah.
How many staff have you got?
Didn't realise at this point that, you know, how long this was going to go on for, or, you know, none of us had that.
Mm. I mean, what is your full complement of staff when you're firing on all cylinders? How many people are we talking about here?
In total, over the two salons, this time last year, I had 14.
Wow. Mm. Mm. So, I mean, that's made a huge difference then, hasn't it? Just being able to kind of tap into that scheme has helped save, helped save those jobs, effectively. Yeah. That's the reality of it. So it's been vital, hasn't it? But as you say, you've got all these other ongoing business overheads that you still need to, find the money for, I guess, on a monthly basis.
Exactly. You know, I've got two mortgages. Mm-hmm. You still have to pay certain bills. I mean, they have, you know, certain companies have tried to sort of support and, cut services, you know, enough costs down, mm-hmm. but you still have to pay something because ultimately they're a business and they're trying to keep going.
Yes. So it's
been a tricky one, really.
So incredibly stressful. And I guess you haven't been able to pay yourself either, have you? I mean,
no, not at all.
Yeah, that's the key thing. You've had to survive on savings, I guess, during this.
Yeah, savings and you know, luckily my husband has been able to work. He works in construction. So he's been able to carry on working. So he's been paying for everything.
So it's fair to say it's been an incredibly stressful time for you.
It has, It's been very difficult. Yeah. But, you know, I think the thing that, you know, keeps you going really is thinking that you're not the only one out there that's going through this. The whole world is.
Mm.
We're all in it together.
That makes you feel a little bit better and not singled out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we'll do now, Rebecca, is we're going to play a little bit of music. And then when we come back, we'll talk about the fact that, you know, your business will be open again on the 12th of April and all of the kind of hard work you've been doing behind the scenes to get to that point as well. So we'll kind of inject some positivity, I think, into yeah, absolutely, because we all need that at the moment. So,
yeah, we do.
Yeah. So bear with us. Stay with us, Rebecca, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect. The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've got Rebecca Nutt from Serenity Health and Beauty on the line with us at the moment. Rebecca, lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me again.
We were talking before the break about, you know, how difficult a journey it's been for you as a business owner under COVID, under lockdown, just kind of keeping yourself motivated, keeping your business going, and there has been some support out there, clearly. But obviously, it as you said, you know, it's barely kind of scratched the surface in terms of your needs.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's focus on the reopening now and let's kind of focus on the positivity around that.
Yeah.
What have you been doing as a business owner, as a salon owner, to kind of get your business ready and to get your staff motivated? motivated and you know, for that kind of return to work. Tell us about some of those good things that have been going on.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, to be honest, the main thing really is getting the staff excited and ready to come back. I mean, they're all, we had a Zoom call last Friday, actually, and yeah, they're just desperate to get back to work. I mean, you wouldn't think it, really. but yeah, they're just desperate to get back to work. They can't wait. You know, they're really, like, key. They just want to get back to normality, bit of, you know, life, see their clients. You know, in our industry, we're all very social animals. That's why we do what we do. We love being with people. We love making people feel happy and good and, you know, and looking their best and giving them all the positive, you know, feelings that come with that. So for us, being kind of locked away for the past sort of three or four months has just been horrendous. Yeah. So yeah, we're all really, really excited to come back. And
well, you're a people business, I guess.
So we had a great Zoom call on Friday, and just, you know, coming up with lots of ideas how we can, you know, really kind of make coming back a real wow factor this time.
Right. Yeah.
Brilliant. And I get, you know, you are a people business, as you say. I mean, it's, you know, same as hospitality. But I guess also, you know, your staff, they have a lot of, you know, regulars, clients that they see, you know, every week or once a month. And I guess, you know, they're going to miss that interaction, aren't they, with those customers?
Very much so. I mean, they're like, some of them are like family. I mean, I've had clients that, you know, I've been seeing for, well, nearly 30 years, you know, and they're like family. And you know, luckily with the old technology of social media and messaging and all that sort of thing, you know, I've been able to sort of keep in touch with them all. You know, some of my clients are older ladies, and you know, so it's nice to sort of speak to them and make sure that they're okay, and that you know, that they've, because you know, some of them have been locked indoors and shielding and nervous to go out, so it's nice to sort of be able to, you know, be a bit of a human contact for them, really.
Yeah.
And
So have you been having a bit of a ring round, just to kind of to touch base again?
And call them all the time. I send out the emails and yeah, have been going through. I mean, I haven't gone totally mad. Some places have been, you know, sort of doing lives every day on Facebook. I mean, that's not really my thing, but that's fine. You know, some people love to do that. I got a bit bored with it after a while, seeing everyone's lives every day. But personally, I'd rather just reach out and speak to them on a one-to-one. Obviously you can't speak to everybody on a one-to-one, but yeah, we've tried to sort of keep in touch as best possible, and emailing all the time, and trying to keep in touch as much as you can, really.
And it's not just the fact that you give treatments to people that make them feel better about themselves. It is totally about the conversations and the personal connection you have with those people. It's like to some people, and I remember people saying, oh, you know, my mum or my nan loves going to the hairdressers because they love to sit there and have a gossip and flick through the magazines kind of thing. And it was like an outing for them.
I mean, we might be the only people they see on a regular basis.
And that's quite a sad thing to think about. And these individuals have now, you know, been shielding and everything. And I think that, you know, you're right, the phone calls, that's a very personal thing to do, because it's the two of you having a conversation.
Yeah, how are they, you know?
Exactly,
So they're looking forward to seeing you as much as you're looking forward to seeing them, which is great, isn't it?
It works both ways.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So tell us some of the challenges this time round, Rebecca, in terms of reopening the salon. You know, are you going to be doing that with reduced capacity, for example, because of ongoing sort of social distancing requirements? What is the salon going to look like on that level?
Yeah, I mean, when we came back from the first lockdown in July, we ended up coming back. I think hairdressers were allowed back in June. No, 4th of July, wasn't it? 4th of July. And then we ended up coming back on the 13th, but we were very limited with what we were allowed to offer. We weren't allowed to do any treatments on the face, which, you know, as I mentioned earlier, was about 70% of what we actually do within my business. So I'm hoping that they're not going to say that we have to do the same thing again and only and not be able to offer treatments on the face. But so when we came back last time, we had to, obviously, we weren't allowed anyone in waiting rooms. I mean, for us, because we have specific treatment rooms anyway, mm-hmm. and each therapist has a treatment room, it wasn't quite so bad because mm-hmm. they're kind of that single person in that area. But then obviously you have to make sure that you've got cleaning time in between,
yes.
So mm-hmm. you can't fit as many people in the day mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we kind of got it down to a fine art in the end, you know, mm-hmm. but we did have the girls working in bubbles, so mm-hmm. there were less people working in the salon because mm-hmm. of the, you know, the in and out situation, you know, people coming in, and we only had one front door, so...
Yeah.
You know, so you have to kind of work it all around that. And they did give us quite specific guidelines, the government,
And I mean,
about reopening. But they could have given them to us a little bit quicker, is the only thing I would say.
Well, that's a concern this time round, isn't it?
Because we still haven't had anything
You're not going to know.
Everything will be the same, but yeah. you can't assume these things, can you?
Is it Bank Holiday Monday that you're expecting to know what that's going to look like?
Well, they're saying the 5th, but I can't imagine it will be on the 5th. I'm assuming it will be the 6th.
Right. So that doesn't
give
you...
It would be
nice
if it was the 5th. They said they'd give us a week's notice.
So. Yeah. So it doesn't give you long to sort of prepare on that basis,
no,
doesn't it? Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, like I say, I think most things we have... I mean, we kind of went... we did what we thought and how we felt as well as a team mm-hmm. and for our clients. We probably did a little bit over the top anyway, mm-hmm. More than the government actually instructed us to do. So I think, you know, when you work in an environment that is... has to be, you know, clinical anyway, is very clean, and we wear PPE anyway, mm. Just putting those extra pieces in place, you know, wasn't too difficult from a working point of view. It was more, you know, having the financial aspect of it.
Yes.
But yeah, having, as I say, working cleanly and having all the clinical hygiene in place anyway, mm-hmm. it made it a little bit easier to return. But as I say, it was more really the capacity of people in the building mm-hmm. more of an issue.
Mm. See, this is what I was going to say. I mean, I know for a fact, working in salons and places like hairdressers, you know, one of your main things is making sure that everything is clean and sanitary and everything else.
Yeah.
So these added little extras is no major real big deal for you guys because you were already
have to be anyway.
At a hygienic level that's really, really high in the first place before any of this happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, your environments are really safe and clean environments.
Exactly. And we have to have licenses from the local authority to offer specific, you know, certain treatments. And they come at health, you know, environmental health come out, they inspect your premises. So, you know, we kind of have a very high level. And as I say, because we already do more advanced treatments, we have a lot more in place than maybe some...
Yes.
Potentially some salons that maybe will only offer nails or, you know, not say that they're not clean or anything, but, you know, we have a different...
Well, your equipment has to be sterilised, I guess, doesn't it? Mm. You know, between treatments and what have you. So, because it is touching the skin. Yeah.
And I think that's why it was so frustrating when, you know, when we first were allowed back out of lockdown and they said, no, hairdressers can open, but beauty salons can't. We were like...
Yeah, and I can totally understand the pain there because
it's
so frustrating because, you know, you guys are, you know, you have to be that meticulous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, regardless of the government telling you to wash your hands, you do that anyway, and everything's very sanitary. So, you know, I can totally understand that. And, you know, obviously looking forward to opening up.
Yes, very much so.
Yes. So tell us, Rebecca, how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way to kind of book in at one of your salons, either in Faversham or in Swalecliff? What's the best way to contact you?
Okay, well, you can visit our website, so www.serenityhealthandbeauty.co.uk,
mm-hmm.
And we have an online booking system. You can also, there's a links to our email and on there as well. At the moment, the phones aren't manned, but you're more than welcome to email us, or, as I say, online booking is available for both salons. You can message us through Facebook. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media sites. And also Google as well. I get quite a lot of people contact us through Google. If you go onto Google, find the salon, find the salons, and we have like messaging available on that, so you can contact us through there.
And people can actually book a slot as well on your website, which is great to know.
They can, yeah. We have online. We do a lot of online booking.
Perfect.
So, and we're hoping to. Well, we're actually getting an app developed at the moment, so people can download an app which has got the online booking on there as well. So that's coming soon. So that's very exciting. I've been working on that while we've been closed.
So just give us a flavour for the types of treatments that you'll be offering people that are going to want to rush back to your salon, because like there's bound to be ladies out there, and it is predominantly
and
ladies.
Gentlemen.
Well, and gentlemen,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Well.
Gentlemen,
but, predominantly ladies. Men are getting more into looking after themselves and grooming and that sort of thing, but I would say predominantly still ladies, but yeah, a bit of both really. So, but yeah, I would say probably we're going to be inundated with eyebrows. And we also do a lot of like non-surgical facelifting, muscle toning treatments, things like that. So I know they're going to be really popular. And nails as well. A bit of everything. Just everything. I just think people are just desperate for some human contact, and they want to feel good about themselves. They've been trapped indoors for the past 3 or 4 months, and you know, they want to get out and feel good, and have something that makes them feel happy. And you know, we're not, I don't think we're going to be able to possibly travel abroad much this year, if anything.
Well,
you know,
spring is in the air.
People want the experience as much as anything, you know. It's something you can actually go out of your house and do and enjoy, and you know, you can come, you know, with a friend, and you can have treatments, and you know, kind of make it a bit more of a day out as well. So you know, it's not just the necessities. There's lots of other reasons why people come to a salon.
No, I think the social side of it is very important, as you've said. Yeah, brilliant. Well, Rebecca, I think we're going to have to leave it there, sadly.
Oh.
So thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been lovely to have you with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It goes without saying that we wish you all the very best for your grand reopening on the 12th of April. And we've got our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And everybody knows how to get in touch now for a treatment, which is brilliant. And probably the easiest way is to go on your website and just book in directly there, which is great.
Or if you want a message, I'm the one that's answering all the messages at the moment. So get in touch. Love to hear from you.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yep. Thanks again for coming
on.
Thank
you so much.
Great to have you. And as I say, all the best.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you again in the near future.
Yeah. Lovely to speak to you both.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Delighted to have you with us today for the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, we've got another guest on the phone, haven't we?
We do, we do. Chris Dorrick from the North Foreland Golf Club. Hi, Chris, how are you?
Hi there, I'm really good, thank you. How are you guys?
Not too bad, not too bad. The sun is shining, and I believe that you opened up your course today.
Yes, so it's the first day since January that we've had golfers here, so it's very exciting here. It's
fantastic.
Lovely to look out of my window and see golfers finally here. It's been a long time coming, so to see them all out there happy again is brilliant to see.
Lovely. And give us a brief introduction of North Foreland Golf Club, and where are you, the facilities and everything else that you've got on site.
So North Foreland Golf Club is situated just on the far east tip of Thanet, so we're just in Broadstairs. So if anyone knows Joss Bay, we look over Joss Bay. So we're actually a clifftop golf course, so the holes go right out to the coast, and you've got some stunning views down of all of the coastline down there. We've got two golf courses here. We've got an 18-hole championship golf course, and we also have an 18-hole par 3 course, which I think's probably Kent's best kept secret, our little par 3 course, which is open to all of the family, visitors. Mm-hmm. There's no dress code. It's a really relaxed environment out there that people can come and get introduced to the game, but also for the keen golfers, you can hone your short game out there.
Mm.
Practice facilities. We've also got an indoor swing studio, fully stocked pro shop. And then inside the clubhouse, we've got our restaurant and event space. We hold weddings here and parties. I think everyone's going to be in the mood for parties quite soon, hopefully.
And I
think
so.
And then we've also got our members' bar, which again has got stunning views down across all of the coastline.
Well, you couldn't have a better day for it, really, today, could you, Chris? The sun is shining, as you said. And what time was the first tea time today?
6:30. So we've moved all the tea times forward. We're really trying to do everything we can to get all of our members out there. We're quite worried about space. We've had our amazing support from our members over the last year. So it was just vital we could do everything we can to squeeze everyone out as much as we can. So yeah, 6:30, people were there. They teed off a bit early, our head greenkeeper said, but the daylight, I think they're eager to get going, but the daylight was with us. It's good that the clocks changed yesterday actually for us. Means we've got even more space, which is helpful.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, you spoke about some of the kind of facilities that the club has got, and I guess apart from members paying subscriptions on a monthly basis, normally bar takings, restaurant takings would be pretty critical in terms of the kind of the business turnover and income, wouldn't it?
No, really critical in the sense that member subscriptions, as great as it is to have the subscriptions keep coming in the month, golf clubs are cash hungry animals. It costs a lot in terms of the greenkeepers and staffing levels, not to mention all your services and rents that we have to pay. So you really do have to look at multiple revenue streams to keep it going. I didn't even mention our tennis courts, actually. We've got tennis courts as well.
So in the absence of that, I guess the club, the membership subs have been critical to kind of to the club's survival, have they, Chris, over the last year or so?
Absolutely critical. They've been the complete lifeline of the club. But it's also it's very hard to try and verbalise and explain to your members that we're really sorry there is no golf, and it's very hard to communicate that. Unfortunately, that we do still need to request for your subscriptions to keep coming in. Unfortunately, even with all of the furlough grants and everything like that, some months the books didn't balance. The subscriptions simply didn't cover the outgoings that were coming out. And this year, the furlough scheme's been great. You can't criticise that. And we did apply for the bounce back loan, which we've got, but we haven't spent yet. So then it's just a case of So working out what's next to do.
You've got the doors open. Hopefully, in a few weeks' time, you'll have your other facilities, be able to serve food and drinks and things like that. And as you say, I'm assuming that now, outdoor sports can take place. You've got tennis, as you say, there as well, which I didn't know you had there. So there you go.
No, stunning tennis courts that look out onto the sea as well. They're beautiful spots to play tennis.
Fabulous, good. So, I mean, you mentioned a couple of the sort of the government support schemes, and we were talking to Rebecca about that earlier as well. What do you feel, as a club, as the general manager of the club, do you feel that, North Foreland has been well supported at kind of local authority level or at central government level? Do you think there's been enough support there for you guys, or have you been kind of scratching your heads a bit and thinking, crikey, if we don't generate or get some income from somewhere, this could be it for us?
No, honestly, we feel we've been supported really well, actually, with the furloughs. I think it's because we've also had the member subscriptions to help with that. But with the furlough scheme, meant the F&B was cost neutral, then we only had the additional top-up, so that was good. And then we've also applied for the bounce back loan that we've got. We received the lockdown from November to the 1st of December for wet lead industry, so we had that. There's been plenty of help out there. We even received a grant for £10,000 from England Golf. So England Golf is on a national level. So you had to reinvest it straight away. So that paid for halfway of a new boiler system throughout the whole clubhouse, which was much needed.
And what's your feeling, Chris, with other clubs out there? I mean, obviously, I would imagine at your level, at your kind of general manager level, it's quite a close-knit community in terms of the golfing industry. What's your feeling with other clubs out there? Are they kind of in the same position as North Foreland, or are some kind of faring better or worse? What's kind of going on, do you think?
Well, there's different business models in golf. So we're very much a membership-led business model. So we've had the support of our membership, and we've had the subscriptions coming in. But there's golf courses out there that are green fee-led, so they keep their membership numbers really low, and they seek the additional revenue from green fees. So that business model, they've really struggled, really struggled, because they don't have that additional revenue coming in.
Yeah, there was a bit in the paper, actually, I was reading this weekend, about how some of those businesses are perhaps hiking their green fees on the return to golf today. Is that kind of a sense that you're getting out there, that businesses are having to kind of almost try and catch up by kind of increasing their green fees exponentially on that basis?
I think so. I think people will look at doing things like that because it is a supply and demand. I mean, we're completely closed to visitors at the moment on the main course. Our Northcliffe course is available to visitors, and we're seeing great interest in that. But we've actually reduced our green fees out there for a four ball. So instead of it being £40 for a four ball, we've reduced it to £35 just to get people back into the game. That is if they're booking online. So we're just trying to stream people online, as we're still not up to full staffing as yet.
And that obviously, because it is a traditionally, I believe it's not a booking system that the club operates. How has, you know, the kind of the implementation of a tee time booking system, how has that gone down at a club that isn't kind of traditionally run on that basis? And also, you know, how has it coped? Because I guess, you know, using a centralised kind of booking system across hundreds of golf, you know, that hundreds of clubs across the country have access to, I guess there's a huge, a huge kind of demand on it. And has it actually coped? Has it worked, Chris?
Well, in terms of the booking system, it's been highly challenging in the sense of just for our members, because they've played here for many, many years, and they could just arrive, play, and they had no restrictions, really. There were no tee times. It was organized. They would just wait, and they'd play. So they've done this for many, many years. And now I'm coming in. It feels like I'm coming as a new general manager, and together with me have come all of these new COVID restrictions.
Bit of a baptism of fire for you, hasn't it?
Has, I mean,
you joined... not at the best of times. I mean, we went straight into a kind of lockdown in March last year, which is when you joined, I think, wasn't it?
So. Just after, just after that. But everything, that your whole way of life or your whole way of playing golf is now, there's so many rules and restrictions, and we're in the business of fun at the end of the day. We're here for people to have fun, and it hasn't felt much fun. We felt more like police, because you're having to literally police everything, and it's for the greater good. And don't get me wrong with that. It's just the way people are having to spend their time and have their enjoyments changed drastically over the last year.
But I guess, you know, having gone through what we've gone through, there will be positives that we can all kind of take out of it. And I guess, you know, things like managing peak demand at key times of the week through, you know, booking systems might well be something that the club wants to kind of adopt longer term, I guess.
And it helps business at the end of the day, because we now know, when you look at the tee sheet, where our quiet spots are, and we can be proactive and market those times aggressively, as we know we're not going to affect our members, and that in turn keeps their subscriptions down. When you don't have that knowledge, it's much harder to sell that empty space on the golf course, because you can't see it.
Fantastic. Good. Well, Chris, I think what we're going to do now, we're going to play a little bit of music, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the future, and, you know, what the club is planning. It's a big year for golf. We've got the Open Championship coming up at Royal St George's this year as well. Let's not forget that. So there's lots to look forward to. So when we come back, we'll kind of touch on some of that if we can, and some of the kind of key things that the club is up to for the rest of the year, Chris. So stay with us if you can.
Brilliant.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've got Chris Doric with us today on the line from Northfallen Golf Club. Chris is the newly appointed general manager at the club. Chris, great to have you with us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Chris, we were talking before the break about the fact that, you know, today is the dawn of the new future, as it were, and the club is very much open for business from today. Just tell us a little bit about, you know, what the club's going to be doing to make up for the shortfall in some of its revenue streams in the kind of immediate future. And we talked about the importance of bar receipts, restaurant receipts, for example, green fee receipts. What's kind of going on a catering level, on a hospitality level, in the absence of being able to congregate indoors in the short term?
So we've really had to think outside the box, so to speak, and try and work out what we can do and what we can do safely. And it's important to look at the revenue side of things, but it's also to look at what we can do for our members. Our members have been great supporters of the club, as I've said, and they haven't had the ability to have a pint with their friends or have a drink with their friends since October. So it's how we as a golf club can facilitate that, and so we can see lots of happy members, but also see the additional revenue streams. So we were looking at how we can provide an outdoor solution. So we looked at, could we run the food and drink from inside the clubhouse? But looking into that, that didn't really seem feasible. That would mean a greater amount of staff, and there's one-way systems and people would be rushing past each other. So it just didn't feel safe. It didn't feel right. So we've actually ordered a horse box. So we have a horse box hospitality unit coming. So that can serve gourmet burgers and gourmet hot dogs on there. But also it has draft alcohol on there. It has Guinness in sugar cans. And it also has a bottle fridge. And that's a fully functioning standalone unit from Horsebox Hospitality that we've got on an initial 6-month contract to see how that goes.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, so will members be able to use their sort of swipe cards on that, or will it be a sort of cash only
scenario? No, all of their swipe cards. We've had great help from our golf IT provider, Intelligent Golf, and literally all we need is an iPad. We can download the tilt onto the iPad.
Wow.
Our members can now, we've tried to go as much digitally as we could during lockdown, so we've also managed to link SagePay system to our members' accounts, so now they can top up their member cards with just a click of the button on their app, and then they can spend that money with us at the horse box.
Wow, that really is, I'm very impressed with that, actually. That really is embracing technology and kind of making it work for you and thinking outside the box, isn't it, as well? That's fantastic. So so members, you know, will be entitled or receive their normal swipe card discount, I guess.
Normal swipe card discount, yes. It will be exactly the same out there for members. We've got seating for 100, so we're building 100, 25 tables of 4 picnic benches, and then they'll all be socially distanced. Yeah. So we've got all of the measurements there. So we've had great help from one of our members that owns a timber frame company. So OFP Timber, they've supplied us the timber, a huge discount. So all we have to do is assemble the tables.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got seating for over 100 dotted around the outside grounds.
And I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, you're saying about, you know, the things that the members, you know, the members have really helped you out and everything else. But what's really nice is obviously a lot of your members run businesses, own businesses, work for businesses that are also helping you guys out as well from a business perspective.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things that I've noticed since joining this club. A lot of the members are successful businessmen in their own right, or businessmen and women in their own right. And the help that they offer us is amazing, and they're always there to lean on if they can help supply us with different things. It's brilliant.
It's a real sort of community feel. Everybody's really sort of pulled together, haven't they? Members and, you know, members that have got businesses and everything else. It's great. So Chris, tell us how are we going to kind of keep golfers safe on the course? It's going to be golf, but it's not going to be completely back to normal, I guess, is it? What sort of restrictions are there still going to be?
It's not golf as we know it, so we're still quite restricted in that sense. So we need to keep our distance out there. So we've got different signs out there making sure that when one group is on the tee that the other group doesn't approach and that they're hanging back at a nice safe distance. And also the physical, you're not allowed to touch the flag stick. That has to remain in there.
No raking of bunkers.
There's no ball washers out there. No shaking hands afterwards.
But nevertheless, you can play as a four ball, which is something that's changed, I guess. That sort of came in initially, didn't it, out of lockdown last year, as two balls only, yeah. and then it sort of went to four balls. So four balls are allowed.
A huge worry for us. Yes. So in December, when it went down to two balls and with the light, we actually only had space for 450 rounds of golf in a week, and we've got 750 members, so we were really concerned it would be two balls, but when we came back, we're open for four balls, so we can fit 1,900. This week, we can fit 1,900 rounds of golf in, so that's three rounds each, roughly, so we were really comfortable with that, and the space out there is great.
Yeah, and I like the other thing I like about that also is it forces members to play with people they wouldn't necessarily play with. And, you know, there's a social benefit there as well, you know, in terms of meeting people you haven't met before.
Yeah, and that people are just dying to get out of the house, so we've just got that option that members can join up with other members and make new friends and meet new acquaintances up here.
I was looking at some of these notes that Martin has given me, and he's gone four balls allowed, however. And when you're talking, I'm thinking, what's a two ball and a four ball? And now it's just come in that it's people.
You just referring them to... How many golfers you're allowed to play with at one time? So four people is the maximum number of golfers you can play with at one time.
Just for us non-golfers out there.
Yeah.
I hope we haven't got too technical for people out there. But the other thing I must ask you about, Chris, because it is a massive summer of golf for us here in Kent, isn't it? Because we've got the Open Championship.
Yeah, it's a huge summer.
So postponed from last year, obviously, unlike the Masters, that, you know, where they decided to, you know, to run it later in the year with no spectators, and the other majors out in the US as well. The Open Championship Committee decided they weren't going to run the Open full stop, and quite rightly so, I think, as well. We're very much a spectator championship, I think, the Open. But this year it's very much sort of back on the cards, isn't it? So what is the club doing anything sort of special around that to monetize that, if you like, on our doorstep?
Yeah, so we've really got to look at that as a key opportunity, as a key COVID bounce back. And over the years, historically, when the Open does come to town at Sandwich, we've always opened up our tee sheet early for visitors, and members understand that this is a real key week and that could really help in our bounce back from COVID. So yes, we've done that. We've opened it up, our tee sheet up early. Mm-hmm. We've got a lovely four ball offer, so four golfers can come for £450, but that includes lunch or breakfast and range balls, and we're also going to have souvenir packs for everyone that's attending, so they've got a keepsake as well. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing good interest. I think rumour has it that the Open will be on in some form with either reduced spectators or full spectators, but we're just waiting to hear that rubber stamp from the RNA, and then we can really hopefully see some renewed interest in that when people are more confident that they can come to the area.
Yeah, and I saw another offer that you were advertising as well this weekend. You've got together, I think, with a local hotel down at Pegwell Bay to do a sort of a golf and accommodation deal as well. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're having to look at ways of driving traffic here, and also driving traffic to the area that doesn't have a big onus on our membership. As you say, our members are really eager to play golf. Mm. So by driving the visitor four balls, so that doesn't take up a lot of space on the golf course. So we could have two, three or four of those groups a day, and it will seamlessly fit in amongst our members. Mm. So yeah, Phil Thorley's been great, great to work with, and we've created that partnership. And also, we do historically receive lots of golf breaks in your golf travels. So by doing this ourselves, we don't have to pay any of the commission. So again, we're seeing more of that revenue directly to us. So we can keep the numbers down.
Yeah. And you're also working with local businesses, which have also struggled as much as you guys have as well. Mm-hmm. So coming together, it's a bit like, you know, your members are helping you, you're helping other businesses around your area. Yeah. Really putting these packages together is a really great idea. And, you know, and I really do hope that a lot of businesses now coming out of this, helping each other, it's just going to be a really lovely thing, and that you're going to have that really good relationship going forward.
I think so. I think everyone's going to be really keen to work together and to come through this together. It feels we've got that wartime mentality, if you will, that we've all been through it together and we'll all come out through it the other side.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Lovely.
There is one other thing I know that you have in the diary every year, in June, I believe it is, isn't it? And that's that you run your own open week competition, don't you, during that during a particular week in June. Tell us about that, Chris.
Yeah, so this has historically gone on for a long time, this competition, where it's called our Open Week, and we welcome visitors from up and down the country to come and play our lovely golf course. And we have a lot of repeat bookings. This year it does look quite slightly different in the fact that our members are so undergolfed and they haven't played so much. We decided we can't take another week of golf away from our members straight away. So we opened it up to our members, and rightly so, for the first week. And pretty much all of the tee times were gone with just our members. They were so eager to play.
Right. Okay. So that's not necessarily open for outsiders this year. But when do you hope to be able to welcome sort of societies back, for example?
So we've decided to do our step changes in line with the government, so it was quite clear to our members when these things could happen. So we're waiting until June the 21st, so that last step change, and then we'll be welcoming full societies back. Visitors will be able to play from May the 17th, so smaller groups will be able to play from May the 17th, but our larger visiting societies will be that last one.
Brilliant. So lots going on, lots to look forward to, some exciting changes happening as well. And then just thinking outside the box and working very sort of collaboratively with the local business community, you know, either through the membership or outside of that. So well done, Chris. I mean, real credit to the club, I think, in terms of, you know, seizing the initiative and coming up with new ways of doing business. So, all credit to you.
Yeah.
It's been great to have you with us, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Give us a little shout out for how people can get in touch with the club if they're interested in inquiring about, you know, perhaps a function later on in the year, or, you know, they're interested in perhaps coming up and, you know, paying a green fee and having a game of golf. What's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, well, I really suggest people to come and see us, first of all. I've had so many people come and see here and said, I've never known you've had such beautiful views. I've lived in Broadstairs all my life. So we are accessible. We are open. Please come and enjoy a drink, first of all. But if not, please just get in touch with us at office@northborland.co.uk.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I'm just looking at the website and the aerial views you've got is amazing. It's so beautiful. It really is, and it really does give your course a nice bit of credit there. It's just such an, you know, the views, as you've been saying. If you want to know what this place looks like, have a check out of their website, because it's absolutely amazing.
Tracy sounds like she's never been there, Chris. But
I have once.
But she was actually there for my 50th party a couple of years ago in the upstairs bar. But clearly she had too much of my hospitality on the evening and she can't remember it.
Well, I only went indoors. I never went round the golf course. But
it was probably dark at the time.
But, you never know. You might see me whacking a ball.
Brilliant.
Chris, it's been great to have you with us. I know it's a very, very busy day for you, so we're going to let you get off now. But absolutely all credit to you and the team at the club, and we look forward to using the facilities and getting back to golf. So thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Take care.
Brilliant. Thanks, Chris.
And you.
Cheers.
Take care. Bye. Tracy, what another superb guest.
Oh, do you know what I really like is that it's been so positive. I know that people are still struggling and everything else, but to start seeing things opening up and to see that people are doing some things really, really differently now and looking at things differently is really exciting.
Isn't it great to hear, you know, a business thinking outside the box?
Yeah, even if they do end up with the horse box.
Yeah.
Serving beer and burgers. But hey, who cares? I mean, this is the new world.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all for being different now. Yeah. So it's really, really good.
Well, we wish Rebecca and Chris, Rebecca from Serenity Health and Beauty and Chris from Northvorland Golf Club, we wish them all the best.
Yes.
For
and
a
all
very
those others
reopening, and as you say, everybody else.
Everybody
out there
else,
as well.
Yeah. We really, really hope that you do really, really well, and that things are going to be on the up, and change. And talking about things going on the up, we really do need to mention just two things before we close the show today. We've got obviously, if you're thinking about setting up a business and you're a woman in East Sussex and Kent, the Let's Do Business Group are running another free startup program. So if you want to make an application, they're doing it now. It's open now for programs in May and July. Mm-hmm. And it's such a really good startup session. It will tell you absolutely everything you need to know to start and run a business, even all the horror stories that you're going to find out. It's better to be well armed than anything else. So please come along and book on that if that's something that really interests you.
So that'll be on the Let's Do Business Group website. Yep. Also on the community page of Supply My Business. It you is. Get involved with that as well, don't you?
Yes,
talking
yes.
Talking about credit management.
Talk about credit management, and cash flow and getting paid and all of those really, really important things. So, good. Yeah.
Good. Well, just to end then the show today, there's just one other thing, and that is the Marsh Network that's happening this Wednesday online. It's 10:30 in the morning. It's with Terry Botfield, the Marsh Network, at TD Botty on the Twitter. If you're a first-time visitor, there's normally sort of 30, 35 people online at that networking. It is free if you're a first-time visitor. Just email Terry. Or there is obviously an Eventbrite booking link. I think it's £5. To attend that, which goes to a local charity. And again, all of that information will be on the
Supply My Business website
community page. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Well, Tracy, we've come to the end of another packed show.
We have. And our next show's not until the 12th.
12th of April.
I know. So
another big day, isn't it?
Yes. And in between that, we've got Easter.
Yes.
So don't eat too much chocolate.
Look after yourselves, everybody.
Exactly.
And we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks' time.
See you later.
Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.